If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're back into our verse-by-verse study. Philippians chapter 2, as you're turning there, just a way of review, Paul is exhorting the church at Philippi to serve one another, to have humility. And he gave the example of Jesus. Jesus took upon him the form of a servant, became obedient to death. We talked about don't look on your own things. And so the last part of the chapter in Philippians 2, he gives two examples of how to have service through humility. He gives Timothy and Epaphroditus, and we'll talk about Timothy today and Epaphroditus next week, Lord willing. In the way of introducing this text, I just want to say this idea that everyone needs a friend. You know, everyone needs a friend. The Apostle Paul, lonely there in prison. Of course, he had the soldiers next to him. We talked about that. Had a friend that he could depend on. In life, we often think, and I have some illustrations, I'll illustrate this, but let me just get this off my heart right at the beginning. Often in life, we think we need a lot of friends. That's not really true. We just need a few good ones. We just need those key people that are so passionate for their love for us and their friendship towards us that they stick with us year after year, decade after decade, in health, in sickness, in poverty, you know, kind of almost like you're married to the person. And excluding, of course, our spouse should be our primary friend, I believe. But Paul had that sort of friendship. And so I want to talk this morning about how to have that type of friendship. Because it does and it will not come naturally. It does and will not come naturally. Deep friendships do not accidentally happen. Meeting someone can accidentally happen. Deep, abiding, lifelong friendships do not happen by accident. And Paul illustrates from the life of Timothy how these friendships take place. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 24 this morning. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that Timotheus is a Greek name for Timothy, Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. God bless the reading of the scriptures. I ask you, God, that you put something in our hearts this morning. That you allow us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, that we can become better friends to people. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think anyone would argue with me this morning that some of the sweetest things in life are good friends. And I don't think any of you will argue with me this morning some of the sourest, heart-wrenching things in life can be friends. C.S. Lewis said, joy is a serious business of heaven. And in this passage, Timothy gave Paul joy. And I am saying that true friends, those friends that will stick by us, will be the type of friends that will put joy into our hearts and into our lives. And I'm always striving to be a better friend personally. I've realized the older you get, the more desperate you need people to stand by you. You desperately need people to pick you up when you're in a funk, you know what I mean? You desperately need people to come alongside of you and help you. You know, our world offers many substitutes for friendship. Now, I'm not saying this is bad, but Facebook offers a virtual medicine for friendlessness. When you get older, you'll get it. Facebook offers a virtual medicine for friendlessness. Facebook is often like the old-time snake oil salesman that offer a remedy for all. But the problem is, when the liquor wears off, your problems are back. And when you unclick and you turn it off, the social media, you realize you're just as lonely as when you went on it. And this is a problem that plagues our society, that the lack of in-depth friendships that take place. And let me just say this, stars, movie stars, athletes, gold medalists, Miss America, all these celebrities that are bombarded before us all the time, none of us could probably mention the last five Miss Americas. None of us could probably mention the top five richest people in the world. Yeah, we can, you know, say, hey, the guy from Amazon's on. We could maybe mention a couple of them. None of us can mention probably 10 gold medalists. Yeah, Michael Phelps. Who's that gymnast girl? So the truth is that though there's a lot of celebrities that we like to attach ourselves to and we like to like their page, We like to put their posters on our wall or put their picture on our phone, whatever way you do it. Those don't bring lasting satisfaction to the soul. They just don't bring lasting satisfaction to the soul. On psychcentral.com, which is a website that people can write into and ask questions to psychologists, there's an article. And let me just read it. Among the most poignant letters I receive as an advice columnist are those from lonely people. Here are some typical samples. The letters are real, but I've changed names to protect privacy. From May, a 14-year-old girl in middle school. I used to have a ton of friends in elementary school, but now I only have three close friends. What's wrong with me? From a new mom, let's call her Angie. I'm the first one in my group to have a baby. I can't go out partying anymore. Actually, I don't want to, but I'm losing my friends. My husband is terrific, but he's gone all day. The baby isn't much of a conversationalist yet. What do you suggest? And all the moms that have been there can say, amen. From a high school guy named Ron. I know a lot of people, but I don't think I have real friends. I mean, I help people out when I can. I'm on several teams, but I don't think there is anyone who would help me. Why can't I connect? From Harvey, an 80-year-old man. Most of my good friends have died. I love this next statement. I had never thought I'd be the last one standing. I guess that's a good thing, right? Last one standing. My kids are all too busy to want to come over very much. If it wasn't for the guy I play chess with, the only people I talk to all week would be the paper boy and the guy who gives me coffee when I go through the drive-thru window. How does a person my age find new friends? It is a proven concept that most people will only have in their lifetime probably 9 intimate close friends. This same article goes on to say that most of us will have a circle of about 150 people that we would communicate maybe on a bi-monthly basis, and we have some sort of interaction with, and then the circle gets a little closer, maybe 30 people that we would want to spend time with, and then that circle gets closer and closer when intimate areas of our life come out. But here's a story of someone that had a friend. Here's a story of the Apostle Paul and Timothy. He mentions Timothy by name here. That he was so close to the Apostle Paul that when Paul wanted to send a substitute for himself, he sent his friend Timothy. Now, I believe, as the text says, it is a father-son discipleship relationship, but I believe it goes deeper than that. How did Paul meet Timothy? Paul was on his first missionary trip journey, and as he went through this town, he met this lady, and this grandma, and they both came to Christ, and then that Lois and the other lady had a son. That son was Timothy. He's probably a young teenager at that point, maybe 15 years old when he first met the Apostle Paul. He turned his heart over to Christ. The Apostle Paul left Derbe, and after he left there, he came back a couple years later on another mission trip, and the church people were like, this young Timothy guy, there's something about him. And Paul's like, hey, you want to come with me? I'm going to travel the known world, and we're going to preach Jesus. You'll probably get rocks thrown at you. You're probably going to get persecuted. Because remember, in Timothy's hometown, Paul left persecuted the first time around. So Timothy knew the drill, but Timothy's like, I love Jesus. Sign me up, Paul. And so Timothy goes on the mission trip with Paul, and it becomes his protege. And remember, many of letters that Paul writes will include Timothy, Timothy, Timothy. He's trying to include Timothy into his work. And so Paul had this deep connection with Timothy. So how did it take place? How do we, in our life, take from the lesson of Paul and Timothy, how do we take this lesson and get those abiding relationships, those friendships? Because it's not something that's going to happen by accident. Friendships never happen by accident. Meeting someone can, but deep abiding friendships don't happen by accident. But let me just say this. As the first examples I read, everybody feels like they need more friends. It's just a feeling that we have. Because part of us developing friendships is how God will spread the gospel through us. I was going to use it at the end of the sermon, but I have this phrase. I read it to my wife this morning. She wasn't too impressed, but she was doing her hair, so maybe I can read it to you to be more impressed. It says, we cannot believe we are succeeding unless our friendships are increasing. We can't believe that we are succeeding in life unless our friendships are increasing. You can increase monetarily, right? But guess what? You still die no matter how much monetary gain you have. You can increase in your physical physique. I mean, you could work out to the point where you could run 3 marathons in a row, which people do. It's called a 100-mile run. But what does that bring you at the end? Pain. Amen, sister. I'm trying to still work that marathon out of me. Remember, work out your salvation. I had the rudder in me. I'm still trying to work it out and work him out. He's being mean to me. He's not quite coming to the surface yet. But we can't believe we're succeeding unless we're increasing in our friendships. Your goal in life, and I believe the goal, this, as you study the New Testament, Paul was always seeking to endear himself to other people, befriend other people, have those friendships that will last a lifetime. And Paul had one of those friendships. So how do you become one of the friends? Now, here's the question you have to ask yourself. It's not, can I find a friend, but can I be a friend? I have one of my mentors, and he calls people all the time. And him and I were talking one time, and he calls just one way he tries to be friends with people. He calls and encourages people. He says, very few people will ever call me. But this is a man with, I would say, some of the richest friendships of anybody I ever know. But he's always the one calling. Do you feel like that sometimes? You're on the right track. Because if we're not careful, we become a little cynical. We're like, that's it. I'm done. Yeah, no. I called 4 times. They didn't call me back. You know, one thing I learned as a landlord, you just keep calling and calling and calling to get your money, honey. You know, that's what I'm not a landlord right now, but when I was, man, I just kept calling and calling, texting, showing up, letters, and finally I get paid. Well, similar friendship, you got to have that tenacity about you. I'm not saying you got to break people's kneecaps or send the hitmen after people if they don't pay you, but it's that tenacity that Paul and Timothy had that went both ways that developed a deep friendship. So let me give you 4 things. You can jot these down. 4 things from this text, this passage of Scripture, that if you apply to your life, and again, I'm not giving you a time frame. I just know God's principles work, and eventually you'll have deep friendships. Number 1, verse 19, Timothy was dependable. Like, no, come on. Oprah could have gave me that one. Dr. Phil could have gave me that one. They are dependable. Look at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you. Paul trusted Timothy so much that he was willing to send him in his place to represent him as Paul's personal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a trust. So if you're going to be a good friend, you have to be dependable. Look at verse 22. But I know you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. We have to be dependable. You're like, oh, this is just, I don't get it yet. No, let me help you get it. You got to let your yes be yes and your no's no's. If you're going to tell a friend you're going to do something, you got to do it. You're like, well, just something came up. Oh, well. I mean, you still got to get the job done. Friendships are on dependability. Isn't that how a marriage works? I depend on my wife. If I ask my wife to do something, if it doesn't get done, I know something's wrong. Now, if she asks me to do something, it's totally normal if it doesn't get done. Husband, wife, difference between a man and woman, right? Yeah, jeez, yeah. That's not a clapping moment. No, that's not a clapping moment. But seriously, friends are dependable. If you're not a dependable person, if you tell your friend you'll be there at a certain time and you're not there, you're not dependable. If you tell your friend you're going to come over on a Friday night and you're just tired and you don't come over, she's not dependable. Like, this is so elementary. Paul knew Timothy was dependable. Paul says, Timothy, go. Timothy was going to take the 800-mile trip from Rome to Philippi. And Paul knew that Timothy was dependable. Why did Paul know that? Because Timothy was dependable on other trips. He didn't flake out. So, friendships, there has to be a level of dependability. And I love what Psalm says, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Somebody quoted that verse to me when I didn't have a follow through on a commitment. I'm not perfect, and I know I'm not, but I know I need to be. I know I'm just trying to be dependable. And so if you're going to have key relationships, it always starts with dependability. Now, how many of you have ever ran a business and employees just don't show up? You're like, what? Like, seriously? I mean, I remember when I was growing up, we had the old-fashioned phones, and I know that's a joke now, but, you know, we had the old rotary, and then we got the push buttons, and then we got the pagers. Yeah, we got the pagers. And then I got my first cell phone. I was so cool, and it was one of those old Motorolas, the old long ones, and but technology is so advanced now. I mean, honestly, you need to be dependable. I have a friend. I think the reason he is a friend is because he's dependable. And some of you have met him before. He's come and helped out doing some work around the church. His personality and mine aren't necessarily... I hope he doesn't listen to this tape. He's my friend, so I could say this about him because we're cool. His personality and my personality are totally different. He's super duper quiet. Just real quiet. And I'm not. I'm not. He's very careful eater. I mean, and I'm not. I mean, he's healthy and I tried. There's nothing that would say we should be friends, but he worked for me. And I'm telling you, a couple years that he worked for me, he never not showed up. He was just dependable. So through that dependability, we developed a friendship. I could rely on him. He could rely on me. There was times, hey, can you watch our kids the 30th of next month? Yeah, we can watch your kids. Can you watch our kids the 21st of next month? Yeah, we can watch your kids. There was a dependability that took place on both sides of it. And because of that dependability, it wasn't personal to assure you of that. The dependability of I could rely on this guy and he could rely on me, a friendship developed. And I still call him. We still hang out. We still do things together. And we still have, but it didn't start with because of this wonderful spark. You know what I'm saying? So if you think friendships that this person has to be funny or this person has to entertain me, it just starts with being a dependable person. You've got to be dependable. You just Miss Rebecca's shaking her head. She teaches piano. I mean, aren't you glad for the students that show up on time? And doesn't text you 2 days later, sorry, I didn't show up for lessons. That's okay, you're still being charged. That's what I would do. I don't know if you do that. But I just, dependability is like a dying thing. And Paul said to Timothy, I trust this guy. He's dependable. He's rock solid. And so friendships, that we have to be dependable people. Let your yay be yay and nay, nay. I have a little joke, and I told it Tuesday night. I was telling my kids, let your yay be yay, your nay, nay. And they started laughing. I was like, why are they laughing? Nay, nay, like a horse. Yeah, like, okay, let me... Yes, yes, no, no. You want to make it clearer English, not the old king? I'll show you the old king coming if you don't keep quiet, boy. No, I'm just kidding. Nay, nay, let your no's be no and yes, yes. There's something about that dependability. Paul saw that in Timothy. Second, a good friend will be like-minded. Look at verse 20. For I have no man like-minded. That's translated like-minded. It's only translated one time. It means this, spirit or soul. Now, my wife watches things that I don't like. Anne of Green Gables is one of the flicks that I prefer not to watch. I don't even like the music in the background that she plays. I just like don't. But I have watched it one time on a rainy day. When, you know, I was recovering from 4 surgeries and there was nothing else on. No, I watched at least one time. But there's a part in there where I think Anne Shirley says to her friend, we're just kindred spirits. You know, sorry to bring back bad memories for you. Your ears, kindred spirits. Now, that was probably the best part of the movie because I could relate with that. When you, and there is studies that have proven this, there is just people that you click with. A like-mindedness, the same spirit. So this idea of like-mindedness is not like a courting couple or a couple that's dating that they look in each other's eyes and all they see is like, wow. No, this like, you know, that's lust. That's not love. And so it's not that type. This like-mindedness is this. In the Greek, it has this concept that your same spirit, you're both looking the same direction. The reason Paul could trust Timothy and the reason Timothy could trust Paul, they both had the like mind to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They were headed the same direction. And this is why true friends, it is almost impossible to become intimate friends with people that are headed a different direction than you. This is often why marriages kind of go. People, they get their eyes... When it was focused on Jesus, they were both going good, but when their eyes get on different things, they're not like-minded. And there is a chemistry that's involved in friendship. And this is why my friend that I mentioned to you that worked for me, the reason we can be friends is, yes, he's dependable, but we both love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an assistant pastor at a Native American church, and the Native American culture is different than our culture. I mean, they're very quiet. They're very the Yavapai Apache that he ministers to. And he fits in super well at the church. Now, when I speak at that church, they're like, overload, overload. And I have to learn to, I've learned since I've spoken there several times, I tone it down on purpose. But this guy fits in perfect. Why can we be friends? We're like-minded. We both love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are our personalities the same? No, but we're both like-minded. And this is, let me give some free advice to those that are single. When I was looking for a mate, a wonderful bride, is that enough? Like, awesome woman. She's in here now, so I can have some fun with her. I feel like when she's here, I can joke better because she tells me if I go overboard when I get home. Like, so when I was I remember John MacArthur making a statement before I got married, before I even met my wife. I was listening to it on the radio as I was driving. So the reason how I found my wife is that I was looking towards Jesus, and I was serving Jesus, and my wife was looking to Jesus, and she was serving Jesus. And then as we were walking and running this life together, we looked over at each other and says, hey, that's a good fit. Hey, that's a good fit. And we joined, and we kept going the same direction. That's like-mindedness. And this is why friendships, ultimately, the deepest level of friendship is when we both look towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So like-mindedness, and this is Paul had, I have no man like-minded. This is ironic because where is Paul writing this from? In Rome. At this time in Rome, there's hundreds of believers. Many in the house of Caesar have believed. So there's many believers, but Paul says, I have no man like Timothy. You know what this tells me? Deep, abiding friendships are very hard to come by. They're not a lot. And so in your life, if you think, I hear people say, well, I just have hundreds of friends. I'm like, how in the world can you have hundreds of friends? I mean, associates, people, yeah. But deep connections? Like, oh my soul, that takes a lot of time. I just don't have that much time to, and realistically, you don't have that much time. So I think, honestly, if you can come to grips with, like, Lord, if you could just let me be a friend to just one or two, three good people. And be like-minded, looking towards the same goal, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is why clubs are popular, right? You go to a flying club. People, everybody's flying. They're looking the same direction. Hopefully, they're looking the same direction. Or you go to a golf club. I remember we were at a hotel one time, and there was a tennis convention. All these people were dressed like, these 80-year-olds were dressed like 20-year-olds, like, you don't look good in a tennis outfit, girl. You know, just like, but they had this like-mindedness. They are all, and this is the same thing, like-mindedness. Don't expect to be deep friends with people that are different, of different life goals than you have. It's just won't work. You have to be like-minded. Paul and Timothy were like-minded. And then the third thing I think is a good characteristic, verse 21, For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. In this passage, who is our example of ultimate selflessness? Christ. He took upon him the form of a servant, became obedient unto what? The death of the cross. So Paul's like saying, if you're going to be a good friend, you have to be unselfish. That's hard for most of us, because we like me. I like me. That's how it goes. You drive into Phoenix, right? One of the first signs the casinos advertise, you do you, or you do I like me, or whatever it is when the casinos advertise it. And it's pretty, like, people say, well, I just don't feel good about the relationship. I is not the way to think about it. True friends put other people before themselves. And you have to honestly evaluate this. Maybe the reason I'm not close to a lot of people is because I put myself first. I'm not saying that's always the case, but Paul and Timothy was unselfish. Here's the thing about an unselfish person. Most of us are like this. A friend calls us up. Can you help me move? The first time's cool. It's exciting. I'm giving a plug-in for you guys. First time's cool. The first time's exciting. But this friend just happens to move every 4 months. They just keep calling, and finally you're like, oh, sorry, I didn't get your call. Like, I know their rent's due and they're moving again. I'm not going to answer it this time. That's being selfish. And I'm not saying there's not times not to evaluate your workload and put your family first. There's nothing wrong with evaluating. Some people you shouldn't help move. You tell them to hire somebody. But here's the thing. An unselfish friend was like, yes, every time I help them move, they take me to Golden Corral. And I get to spend some time with them. I get to help them move. And I get to convince them to throw out some of that junk they've been hoarding for all these years. I'm finally going to help influence my friends. So every time they call you, instead of like, you accept it. And this is the key to friendships. When you put other people first, you're going to be a very attractive. Yes, people can take advantage of you? Absolutely. That's part of the deal. Unless you're willing to be taken advantage of at times, you'll never develop those deep friendships, because it's in those times of unselfishness that bonds your heart to someone else. Several years ago when my mother passed away, I called a friend of mine. We'd been friends for 20 years. And this really was an encouragement to me. I called him, told him, mother passed away. He's all, Tim, is there anything I can do for you? And I knew this guy, and I knew that he really meant that. And he says, I'll tell you what. When we got the phone, I'll book a flight. He was pastoring. I'll book a flight, and I'll fly out there tomorrow.
just to be with you. I said, no, that's not necessary. But I knew he was serious. I knew that he was so unselfish in our relationship that he was willing to stop his whole schedule, father of six, pastor of a growing church. I knew that he would stop everything in his schedule to fly out to see me and help me in my time. He was unselfish. That's the type of friend, those types of things, and willing to follow through, right? Not just say, yeah, God bless you, be warm, be filled, be gone. No, and willing to follow through, those types of unselfish service is what binds our hearts to each other. And those are the types of friends. That's what Timothy was. Every time Paul says, Timothy, you're 17 years old, you're at the prime of your life, guess what? Come with me on this missionary journey. Get beat up a few times. See me get tortured. Travel the known world. No, you don't get paid. You don't get any retirement fund. And your shoes and your sandals are going to wear out. But follow me. We're going to preach the gospel. Timothy went with Paul. And the next time Paul says, can you go send this letter? Timothy went. Timothy, can you pastor the church of Ephesus? Timothy went. And the friendship got deeper and deeper and deeper as the acts of unselfishness unfolded. And by the way, isn't that a good secret to marriage? Yes. Teen girls, pay attention to this guy. He's not far from the kingdom. I'm just kidding. Don't pay attention to that. Edit that part out. They're unselfish. Timothy was unselfish. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Are you just a person that's always seeking other people's good? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you always seeking other people's goods? Well, they didn't come to my party. Well, did you go to theirs? And why does it matter if they came to yours? Because if you're unselfish, as Christ gives the example, you're worried about others more than yourself. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing, this thing only comes with time, number four, and I've referred to it. They are tested. Friendships that are tested. Verse 22, but you know the proof of him. That word proof, it means tested. Abstractly or concretely, the proof of him. Timothy was a tested servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have deep friendships, let me just say, there are times we just serve and serve, but when we open our hearts to people, we got to make sure those are tested friendships. Because people can take our hearts and twist them. I think it baffles me how some people know somebody for 3 weeks and they think they can just pour their heart out to them. You just can't do that. There's certain things you just can't do. Timothy, his friendship with Paul was tested over time. And when those friendships are tested, they become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You know what I mean? A marriage, it can become sweeter when you go through hardships. When you wake up in the morning, you don't look your best, or you're sick, and your spouse is still there for you. It's tested, and that love gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and God attends it that way. And same with our friendships. And we have to be dedicated. We have to be proven, and we're tested. Paul said Timothy is a tested friend that's reliable. I'm telling you, we have to be those friends that are test worthy. We have to pass their test. We have to pass their test. And that's how Timothy was with Paul and his church to Ephesus. They are tested. Building friendships is building the kingdom of God. I believe that with all my heart. Somebody once told me that if you want to build a church, the easiest way to do it is just build 100 friends. And their concept behind that was, as a leader, you're building friendships with people because those friendships will ultimately lead to discipleship. So this is how we build good friends. And I believe that four things, and let me rehearse them, and I got a couple more things and I'm done. Friendships, they are dependable. They're dependable. They are like-minded. They're unselfish. And they are tested. Now, in context, what is this talking about? It's talking about a friendship, but in context, it's talking about a minister telling another minister to minister to the church. That's in context. Let's take Central Baptist Church for a second here. if we want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, these four characteristics has to be in us. I don't know how you look at a visitor, but this is how I look at visitors. Anybody that walks through those doors, I think to myself, that could be a mentor for my children. That could be a grandma or grandpa figure for my children. That could be a brother in Christ that helps me when I need it the most. I look at, when people walk through the doors, I look at it, can I develop a friendship with that person? That's how I look at other people. And if we're going to develop a church beyond ourselves, if we're going to make disciples, we need these four characteristics. Are you dependable? Like, man, building a church, it may not matter to you, but I'm passionate about it personally because I believe every person that walks through the door, I need to be dependable for that person. I personally take a responsibility. Am I dependable to that person? Do I show up when I'm supposed to show up? Do I serve when I'm supposed to serve? Am I dependable? Many of us would fire us if we hired us. I love what Dave Ramsey said. Would you fire you if you worked for you? You know, we have to be dependable in the local church because without dependable people, week in, month after month, year after year, churches do not grow and they scratch their head and wonder why. Look, if animals can detect character in people, don't you think other people can detect character in people? We all have a dog that knows a bad apple when it sees it, right? We have the dog that doesn't like certain people because that person's not nice. We too need to be dependable as a church. We need to be like-minded. I so passionately believe that there's lots of churches out there. Well, a church has to have a goal and it has to be like-minded. We can't have 20 people doing 20 different things to accomplish anything. We all have to be looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. There's lots of needs at the church. We could feed the homeless. We could build a house for women. We could do this. But at this point, we just need to be faithful and try to reach our friends. I'm for having a lot of ideas, but unless we're doing the basic stuff, we're not like-minded. We're not moving together in the same direction. And Paul, I think this is an illustration to the church. I think it's an illustration to us personally. We're unselfish. You know, at that church, they never recognized me. I did this, and they never recognized me. Does it matter? I mean, I believe, give God the glory, people the credit. I believe that with all my heart. But there's times that you have to unselfishly serve week after week if things are going to get done. It's like you have to have unselfish motives. And then also, we have to be tested. Time only proves the unity, the structure, the effectiveness of a church. Time only proves. So, if we want to build disciples, we have to build friendships. We cannot be so busy with our personal lives that we do not reach out to other people. If we're so busy with our personal lives that we don't have time for other people, we're just never going to have lifelong friendships. The one of the reasons we live so simply, my wife and I, and we don't live extravagant, the one of the reasons we do that on purpose is so we can just be with people. Our cars are old. Our house is just average. We've done all those things on purpose just so we don't have to be burdened down so we can serve people. And somewhere along the line, if the church is going to prosper, people, individuals have to say, I want to clear off some of my agenda to focus on other people. And if you don't do that, life will be miserable for you. Like, I don't have any friends at the church. Well, are you dependable? Are you dependable? Are you tested? Are you unselfish? Are you like-minded? You know, are you headed the same direction? Timothy eagerly, enthusiastically wanted to hook up with Paul. It was a two-way street. And a church that moves forward has to eagerly, like Timothy, say, I'm a servant, and if I get a job to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart, and I want to serve. This is how you build friendships. I speak the truth here. All of it, but this in particular, some of the deepest friendships I have are people that I serve the Lord with. You know, it's hard for me to make friends in people that aren't Christians. I'm trying. There's a guy named Eli right now that's not a Christian. I'm trying to be his friend. I'm trying to help him because I know that friendship will eventually, I'm praying that he'd get saved. But ultimately, the deep friendships I have are the people that are looking at the cross with me. Just looking at the cross with me. He said, well, the pastor's not that friendly. Which direction are you looking? I'm saying, is it my fault? I mean, I have plenty of friends. It's not my fault if you're not my friend. Or, I'm just saying, if we're all looking the same direction, then we're all going to have a unity and we're going to have a direction. But if somebody is not a friend, if it's like this church is unfriendly, it could be true and there could be elements of truth to that. But bottom line, we have to just change it personally. Am I reaching out to the person? Am I being unselfish? Am I looking to the cross? Am I looking to the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ in my personal life? Because if not, there's always going to be a conflict in church. Every person walks to the door, I think, can we join up? Can we be on the same team? If they're not a follower of Jesus Christ, first goal is to teach them and show them the love of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, he rose again, and that you can have new life in him. And then we're brothers or sisters in Jesus Christ, and then our lifelong mission is to follow Christ together. We're like-minded. That's the goal. That's how you have friendships. And again, if you're thinking you're going to have 20 deep friendships, you're wrong. If you have two or three in a lifetime outside of your marriage, you're a blessed and rich and fulfilled person. Because you just can't have multiple friends. Now, this doesn't mean we don't all have outside people that we love to hang out with. We're heading the same direction. But true friendship is those people that you yoke up together and you just serve the Lord. Some of the sweetest times my wife and I can remember is I was a pastor. I was single and I started liking her. She had the summers off. She was a teacher. And I hired her. It was so much fun. Because I thought, she didn't listen to me when I... She does. Just kidding. You listen to me then. So I hired her. And a whole summer, we were in our mid-20s. A whole summer long, we were serving Jesus together. We're seeing people come to Christ together. We were doing things together. And it was just, there's just some sweet memories. Because we were just heading the same direction. And that's how you make friendships. If you're a Christian, you pour yourself into serving others. Will the friendships come in bunches? No. But the ones that you get, the ones that the Lord allows to bring your way, are going to enrich your life to full potential. Lord Jesus, thank you for this passage. And I pray that you will help us to be not only friendly people, that we would be people that are dependable. Lord Jesus, that we'll be like-minded, that we'd both be looking to the cross. And Lord, that we'll be unselfish, and that we'd be tested, proven. Friendships take time to develop. And so help us, Lord. Help us to be like Timothy and Paul, that their friendships is divinely recorded in your eternal word for us to learn from. Help us as a church to look at every person that walks through our doors as a sister or a brother or grandma or grandpa that we can have deep relationships with. But ultimately, we glorify you because it is about you. So guide us in this time of prayer in Jesus' name.